So glad to see you all here in church today. You notice that we're missing a few bodies up here today, but we will talk about them in just a little bit. But I want to read a word of scripture to you today to open today. And this is going to come from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. Word of the Lord. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth, and the world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in your house today. Lord, we declare this nation to be yours. We declare this morning and all of today to be yours, Lord. We honor you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your honor and for your majesty, for your strength, for all the things that you bring to us. And Lord, just for who you are. You are the King of Kings. There is no gods above you, Lord. We know that you are the only one that is worthy of our praise. And we come together as a part of your body to give you that honor that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. You know, I had some of my family I got together with my grandsons, and they came up because we went out on a charter fishing thing out of Charlevoix, caught lots of fish, had a great time even though it rained, and the fish didn't know it was raining. They were already wet, so we did have a good time. So, in fact, our youngest daughter here and my grandson, Dakota, you remember me talking about him before? So you guys kind of know all about him. He's going to be leaving soon for college again. But anyway, Dakota likes to talk more than I do. And so I asked him if he would just want to share some words of encouragement or whatever the Lord might place on his heart, but he only had like 30 seconds. So get used to the restraint, bud. You want to share?
No, just as we were worshiping there and you guys were talking through like some of the circumstances that you guys are going through with like maybe your grandchildren, your children, yourself, your family, whatever kind of thing. I know you guys have went through teaching Spirit, Soul, and Body by Andrew Womack. Are you guys familiar with that? So I actually go to his school. I go to Andrew Womack's school out in Colorado. But I just want to encourage you guys with that. Like, you live from your spirit man first, right? It's from your spirit. So what does the Word of God say about your situation? What does the Word of God say about your grandchildren, your children? Every single thing that you guys are going through with looking for a new pastor, what does the Word say? That's the first thing. It's not what it looks like. It's not what it feels like. It's not what you're physically feeling if it's something with your body. It's not what it looks like for your grandchildren, for your children, that kind of thing. Like my mom and I don't know if he shared this, but my dad passed away a little over 2 months ago and we've been going through that. But like throughout that entire time, it was looking at what the Word says. What does the Word say about him? What does the Word say about his situation? What is the Spirit of God actually saying? It has nothing to do with what it looked like in that situation. Because if you look at situations and people based on what it looks like in the natural, it's never good. It's actually disappointing for you. It's actually really not good. It brings you farther away from the truth, farther away from the truth of the Lord. So I would just encourage you guys with that. Like, whatever you're going through, find a scripture, find what the Lord's saying, because he is saying something. He's not going to just neglect you and say, no, you know what, you're going through that. I'm just not in that. He wants to be in everything you do. So the more you look for him, the more you're going to find him. That's a promise. So that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Thank you, Dakota. That was good. That was good. You know, I was watching on TV, on YouTube, they had some movies in there of the persecuted churches in North Korea and China. And so I was watching them, and I was so humbled. The one in China, they would get up at, or they would be at prayer meeting at 4:30 in the morning, prayer and worship. And they would do that for 2 hours before they had to break and go to their different jobs and different things. But they did that every morning. They had a getaway place, a hiding place where they could all congregate. And when they showed that film, there was like, I don't know, 50 to 75 people there. Tears flowing. They're just praying. I mean, they are in it. And this is a persecuted church. They could be killed for what they're doing. They could be raided at any moment. But yet they would do 2 hours. And then in China, there were so many different things. This one group would meet early in the morning. And the preacher that would preach, they wouldn't settle for less than 4 hours of preaching. Can you imagine? I have never been to a church like that. Never. Wow. That would be a pastor's dream. It really would. Because it's like, I got so much I want to say and share that the Lord's given me. But we're restrained, you know, by the element of time. I hate time. I do. I despise time like that. So I'm constantly, I look back at the clock. Oh, Lord, can I get it in? You know, so have mercy on me. And any good preacher that you get in here, he is going to fight time. And probably the first thing he's going to do is work on strengthening and adding to your time of tolerance. Amen. You might have to get padded pews. These people. But anyway, let's go in to the word. Philippians 2:21 says this, and the Amplified, as we get ready to read it. Father, I ask that you would just multiply your word. Holy Spirit, you speak to each of our hearts. Give us your desires and your plans, your hope. And Lord, then I know that we'll be satisfied and everything will be perfect. So Father, thank you for who you are. And you only have the best for us. So Lord, teach us, I pray. Let the few words that you've given me here to say, Lord, may they have great impact on all of us, including myself. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I want to learn. We need to learn how to recognize selfish desires. I know you guys never have them, but I do at times. And I have to deal with them. We need to deal with selfish desires. You know, and they come about, and a lot of times we try to make them godly. You know what I mean? I get selfish desires and plans, and then what do? We pray that God will bless them rather than finding out what God's plans are so he can bless them. Amen? It's different. It really is. So Philippians 2:21 says this. Paul's speaking of a bad time that happened. It's, for the others who deserted me after my arrest all seek to advance their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now, I think that's a selfish interest. And you know, it kind of reminded me of the church here. It's like now you're searching for a new pastor. Something happened, and now you have to make a change. And you don't really want to, but you're required to. You're going to have to make a choice. And so you're working hard on that now. But one thing, you have to be careful that you don't have the selfish desires to try to find somebody that might really, you know, just pet you and comb you and, you know what I mean? Somebody that's going to be in here just to keep you happy. What's that?
Tickle our ears.
Hey, that's good. Yes. And that's what Paul talked about in Timothy about that. Folks, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Chances are you're going to get a pastor in here because I know your heart. I thank you for sharing the plumb line because I didn't know where you guys were. I knew that you were good people. I knew that you sought the Lord. I knew that you listened to what I said. But I didn't know really where you were. But as Jackie shared this morning, it's like, oh, yes, Lord, no wonder I've always sensed a good spirit in church. You know, you're desiring to learn and to see with God's eyes and to have God's desire and his heart in your lives. And that's the first big step. But you're going to get a pastor in here that may rub you wrong at times. But look at the word. Is it truth? Is it real? And if it is, then maybe I need to change. I like what Pastor Bill always said at Harbor Light. He said, well, if I have offended you, you probably needed it. Right? And that's so true. There's sometimes we need to be rubbed the wrong way, you know. It's kind of like petting a cat backwards, you know. And so you need a pastor that's going to listen to God and share his word regardless of what the people might think or say. Now, there's a way of doing it. You don't want somebody to get up there and beat you, you know. But you want somebody that's going to share the truth in love and then try to help you through it to be able to accomplish it in your lives. We need help. Folks, there's a lot of things I read. I don't know how really to accomplish it or how to do it. But I'm learning to trust God and his word. And when I find something that I don't understand and before have maybe even disagreed with, I would get into it and study it. I would pray about it. I would seek it out until I knew really what God was meaning by it. Instead of just basically tearing that page out. Folks, you're looking for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to move in your lives, and he will do that, but you got to be open. You got to be willing to receive. At times, you're going to be so confused. And that's why Paul even did correction in the church. He talked about prophesying and speaking in tongues and all of this. And a lot of times, since we don't understand that and other people have said it's not for the day, we throw it out. And then we ignore it. And then it's like, really? I believe the word of God is inerrant. I believe every word of it is for us today, and there's a reason why you shared it. But we've got to learn to submit to God and find out what his will is, not what our will is. That's what's got me into so much trouble in my life growing up and walking with the Lord. I'd find my desire, and that's what I would go for. And God had to break me down and change me. Anybody ever been corrected by the Lord? He knows how to do it, doesn't he? And it hurts sometimes. But afterwards, oh, what a blessing that it is. So let me ask you, where really are your interests? Just being a nice, friendly little church, or is your interest really in serving God? See, that's where our interests really need to be. In fact, in Colossians, you're going to be studying that real soon. It says in chapter 3, verse 2 of the Amplified again, he says, set my heart and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. Folks, the things of this earth and a lot of things that we work so hard and think that are so important are temporal. They're not going to last. Anybody ever go to a funeral when there's a U-Haul parked out in front? Huh? You know, everybody that leaves, they take nothing with them. Because we go to be the Lord, and that's all temporal stuff. It's not of no real importance. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. What Dakota was talking a lot about just this morning. Take what the word says, not what you feel, think, what other people say, your doubts. What does the word say? Do the word. Believe the word. Stand true with the Lord. Even in looking for a pastor. You know, I seen a list of the things that you were kind of looking for. I think it's great. I think all of it is great. There's one I'm hesitant on, and I'll share that with you sometime. Not that it's bad, but sometimes it hinders people, and it makes people go the wrong way because they put too much importance in it. Know what I'm saying? So let's look at some examples. Have you read in 1 Samuel before about Saul was chosen as king and all that he did? And then I think it was in chapter 13, the enemy was coming against Saul. And Samuel said, now you wait for me 7 days and I'll come and we'll do the burnt offering and the sacrifice unto the Lord so he can bless the armies of Israel. And so Saul waited 7 days. Now the people were getting more and more afraid. A lot of them were kind of falling out. Do you ever notice that in church? Looking for a pastor and there's people that kind of, you don't really see them. So you kind of wonder, God, are we going to lose everybody? Are you really going to use us anymore? Are we finished here? And that's what Saul was saying. The people were hiding in holes and rocks and caves and everywhere else because they were afraid. And so here's Saul. He heard what Samuel said, but his heart wasn't to God. He didn't have the faith to really believe what God had for him and that God would take care of him. And see, that's what we need in the church. So he waited the 7 days and all, 7 days are open. Just bring me the offering. Bring me the gifts. Bring me all of them. I'll offer them. Now, folks, there's jobs that we're not allowed to do. And yet we'll jump in because, well, somebody's got to do it. And so we jump ahead of God. What we're saying is, God, well, we gave you your chance. You're a little late. Kind of like me in fishing. If they don't bite quick, they're not coming. Amen? They stay where they're at. I leave them. They miss their opportunity. Well, that's how we act with God sometimes. And so Saul did the offering himself, but did you know, as soon as he finished, here's Samuel. All he had to do was just wait a little bit longer. Folks, that's the same with us. Learn to wait, and in waiting, learn to trust God with it. regardless of what it might look like, what it might feel like what you see, and think it's all hopeless. I know at our church at Harbor Light, we had a big split one time. I don't know if we were up 400 or 500 people, and all of a sudden we went down to like 100 or so. People were making bad choices and doing things, and all of a sudden here's the eldership getting scared. What are we going to do? What should we do? Should we change, do this, whatever? And finally, I said to Pastor Bill at the time, I said, and the eldership, I said, if these people are leaving, I said, I hate to see that. But I said, let them go. It doesn't mean they won't come back later. But we need to stand strong in the Lord and not be moved by what we see and what we feel. We love these people. Keep in contact. They're your friends. It's okay. But if they don't feel like they belong here, then maybe they don't right now. But folks, now Harbor Light is probably even stronger than that now, because we towed the line. We didn't go by what we've seen, what we felt. We decided that we're just going to trust God. And however long we have to wait, we'll wait. And that's the same way with you guys here. Wait on the Lord. Build up your faith. Keep your eyes on Him. What does the Word say? You got the pendulum there. What does the Word say? That's like, you know, sickness and different thing that's going on. Do you know how I look at that? The Lord says, 1 Peter 2 and 23 or 22, it says, by His stripes we were healed. Past tense. So I'm healed. Well, then a sickness comes on. What do you do? Oh, my. Oh, I know I got it. I've talked to people. I know it's coming. Runs in my family. So I know I'm going to get it. Whatever it is, I'll get it. I look at it like this. It's like a bad salesman. Anybody ever had a bad salesman at the door that just wouldn't give up? They keep trying to be pushy and you're not interested. Well, that's what I look like. That's the devil peddling his junk on me. The Word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I don't have to take it. It's not mine. It's been paid for. Right? I'm immune, according to the Word. Now, what do you do with it? Throw the bum out. You don't have to accept it or receive it. When it comes, no, God says, the Word says. You don't know how many times I've done that. And I'd go to prayer, and I'd be praying about it, and I'd be hurting. And I'd pray about it, and I'd say, God, You said. God, You said, this is Your Word, and I stand on Your Word. And you know, a lot of that junk I never got. It tried to take hold, but then it was like the next day, or even that day, it was gone. There'd be times somebody, well, how is your leg? No, I tell my wife, you know, I'm having pain in my leg or something, or just kind of mention, you know, the enemy's trying. Well, in fact, I was in town one day, Home Depot. I'm pushing a cart. I like pushing a cart, kind of relax on it. So I'm pushing a cart, and all of a sudden, my knee went out. I'm like, whoa. So I stopped and pretended I was looking at tools and different things. Just pretend. And so I spoke to my knee. Folks, our words are powerful, right? Doesn't the Word say that? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, I spoke to my knee. I said, knee, line up with the Word of God. God created you to function right, and you will, in Jesus' name, function. I kind of moved it around, and I took another step, and it felt better. Well, after I took the third step, it was gone. But folks, who are you? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do we know? Are we just these little people that kicked around by a big bad devil, hoping that God will maybe save us sometime from all the hurt and the pain and sufferings? Folks, you got to know who you are in Jesus. That's why I watch these people. They would sit on wooden floors all day long. In fact, they had a missionary from the United States that went over and wanted to teach them how to disciple. And so he met them at a certain hospital. These people traveled 13 hours by train to get there. And so they get there and they go up. They have to sneak up to this guy's room two by two, so nobody could see that a group of people were meeting there. They went in there. They sat on the floor from 8 to 5. 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening. And they said to the man, no air conditioning, and it was very hot, over 100 degrees in the room. Sitting on a wooden floor, not padded pews. I like the easy boy. No easy boy. Sitting on the floor, listening to this guy from 8 to 5 o'clock that evening. And then they asked, the missionary said, could you do this again tomorrow? And he says, really? You guys want to? Could you please? And so the next day, well, then they went at the end of the day, said, Pastor, could you do it one more time? Please, one more day, do it tomorrow as well. From 8 to 5. And then they asked the pastor, said, could you pray for us that we would be like your church in America? Because we hear that you're so blessed and you have the freedom to be able to come together to worship, to pray, to hear God's word without the dangers of being persecuted. And the pastor said to him, he said, I will not pray that prayer for you. And they were amazed, like, what? Why? And so they were hurt. And he says, the reason I won't pray it is because if Americans had to go more than an hour to church, they wouldn't go. You went 13 hours just to get here. And two, people wouldn't in America will not sit on uncomfortable pews or chairs. They have to be padded. They've got to be comfortable. They've got to have air conditioning, which you don't. You sat on a wooden floor. They wouldn't dare do such a thing. He said they wouldn't put the time in that you've put from 8 to 5 because you wanted the word of God. You were so hungry for it. So he said, I will not pray that prayer for you, but I will pray that the American church will become more like you, that we will sacrifice our feelings and our emotions, that we might be closer to God and to serve him with our whole heart. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I watched that. I was ruined. I wept. And here's a church, we think we're on fire for God all the time. And it's like, man, we have no idea what the fire is. So I'm not trying to put us down. Don't get along. I'm just trying to share with you how we can be. And one day, this is what we're working towards. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, that's where we're all going. Man, when we get in heaven, get used to it, man, because you're going to be worshiping God a lot in heaven. Amen. And you're going to love it. The clouds are going to be nice and soft. If that's what we're in, I don't know. But anyway, in 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 10, it says this. Well, we just did that one, where they waited 7 days. So write that down so you can look at it later. I wish you would read that and understand what the Lord's trying to tell us in that. Now let's look, anybody ever have a good excuse that makes you feel better? I've heard some good excuses. My daughter got home late one night, not Holly, but Sherry, the oldest. And she was supposed to be home at 10 or something like that. She didn't get home till like 11. And so, well, she's in trouble. She come in and she says, "Dad, I'm so sorry." She says, "I was just at the school with my car. I got in it, started, was ready to go, and this herd of deer surrounded me. I honked my horn and everything. They wouldn't move. And I didn't want to dent my car up. So I had to wait until they were ready to leave." I'm like, "Yeah, right." But here, let's look at Samuel. He just blames people. 1 Samuel 13:11 through 12. "But Samuel said, 'What have you done?' Samuel said to Saul. Saul said, 'Since I saw that the people were scattering away from me and that you did not come within the appointed time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the Lord's favor, but making supplication to him is what we decided to do. So I forced myself to offer the burnt offering." Do you ever force yourself sometimes to do something that you probably shouldn't have done? But we all have an excuse. Now in verses 13 and 14, it says this: "Samuel said to Saul, 'Have you acted foolishly? You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For if you had obeyed, the Lord would have established your kingdom.'" Folks, we wonder sometimes why our prayers aren't answered. Because a lot of times we compromise. It's just a little compromise. Just a little. "He would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as leader and ruler over his people because you have not kept or obeyed what the Lord commanded you." What I want to be is like Paul when he said, "I've fought a good fight, a good noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, firmly guarding the gospel against error." And that's another thing your pastor needs to do. He needs to guard against error in the gospel. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. You know, if you're taking a rifle and you want to hit a target 1,000 meters away, you need it to be right on. But if it's off just one notch, just 1/100th of a degree in that length of time, you won't even come close to your target. And that's how we get a lot of times with the Word of God. We've heard it a little differently, and therefore we've got a little different understanding of it. And yet we're off target. The target's over there. We're trying, but we've been taught wrong. Just that little bit. Folks, it doesn't take much. That's why Paul says, "I guard the gospel. I'm not deviating from it, nor will I ever let anyone else around me deviate." You know, Paul jumped on Peter one day when Peter went and sat by themselves and left the Gentiles. And Paul went to him and said, hey, what is all of this? He said, here you live and you walk like a Gentile, and all of a sudden now your buddies are here and you separate yourself? And he says, quit living the lie, man. We're living for Jesus. We're all equal in his eyes. So you need a pastor that's going to stand up. He's going to love you in spite of your mistakes, but yet he's going to correct you. He's going to look for things that might be false that comes into his church. That's why a pastor, one thing they do is when they have a guest speaker, they want to know about this guy. Who is he? What does he teach? What's he stand for? A lot of times you might even go and hear him yourself and then go and have a private meeting with him to see where he stands on different issues, because you're concerned about your people. You're the shepherd. You don't want a wolf coming in. Or somebody that is not really called into ministry, but they're doing it, kind of like Saul doing the offerings. Folks, I'm going to tell you, pastor has a big job. And God's working so hard on him right now to prepare him just for you. The way a lot of you are, he's got to be perfect. There's people that God's preparing that some of you right now would never even recognize that they're the one. How about that? No, I don't think I want him. Like a lot of people with Trump. Oh, no, I don't want Trump. What do you want then? You know? It's like, folks, we need to wake up. We really need to pray. And we need to seek God in everything that we do. So you've got a big job ahead of you. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to trust God with it. Like when Samuel went to Jesse's place because the Lord told him to go there. And he had 7 sons. So he had them all go before Samuel. And when Samuel seen the one, Elah, I believe is what his name was, he thought, that's the one. That's the one for sure. And the Lord says, no, it's not. Not the one I chose. He said, you judge by appearance. See, that's what we do. We judge by appearance and what we think and what we feel about it. But God says, I judge the heart. He says, I do it different than men do. That's why you got to learn, wait on the Lord, trust in him, let him do the choosing and the picking. And when you get the right one and your heart's right with God, you'll know. You'll say, yes, Lord, that's the one. We may have to groom you a little, but that's the one. Folks, we serve such a big God and he so loves us. We just got to let God be God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would allow us to see all of your truth in it. That, Lord, you have got somebody that you've been preparing all this time just for this church, just for your people here. That they would flourish and grow. Lord, that they would serve you. So, Lord, thank you that you've given us faith and a desire to walk with you and to serve you with all of our heart. Do your work in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.